All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Very excited about tonight. We've got a special guest for the night. We haven't done too many guests throughout the years, but I've got one of my favorite people on the planet with us tonight for a myriad of reasons. I'll let him introduce himself to you. Most of you already know who he is. But anyway, it's Joel Altman from the Conservative Daily Podcast. Listened to it yesterday. Great job. Joe, how you doing, man?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good to see you.
You've been traveling the country or what?
I have. Just got back from Tennessee.
Yeah, you're usually coming and going when I'm talking to Mermaid. She's usually telling me you're somewhere other than your home state. So, hey, just real quick, just so everybody knows, just do a quick introduction of who you are. Tell them about DCF, the gun stores and the gun ranges. And then I've got a couple intro questions for you, and then we'll get on to some other stuff.
Awesome. So I'm a tech CEO and I own gun stores and ranges. I got involved in this politics stuff in 2020 quite by accident. It's been pretty painful, but worth it. But we're the largest seller of guns and ammo in the state of Colorado, and we do some pretty crazy stuff and have some great commercials. And on the tech side, we build AI, and our team rebuilt the Frank Speech platform. And now I'm a podcaster. The radical left tries to say I'm a podcaster. Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't know half of what you just said. I didn't know your tech people rebuilt or built Frank Speech. That's a pretty big deal.
They rebuilt it.
Oh, I had no idea, and I didn't know that you were the largest largest amount of gun sales in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, we're also the only SIG Elite dealer in 7-state region. We have 2 of them. And
SIG, my favorite. Yep. Awesome. Wow. I had no idea. Carried a SIG for 25 years.
Yeah, whatever you need. I get you. I'm an arms dealer, so whatever you need.
I should have had you send me one of the gun commercials. Like, some of those gun commercials are the best commercials on the internet. Seriously. I should have had you do one of those. Dadgummit. Next time, remind me of that. We got to play one of these. Cool your commercials are the best, seriously. But so how many gun stores are there in Colorado? Three?
Three stores, five ranges.
Three stores, five ranges. That's right. Now, real quick, I know you've told me this before, but just so my viewers hear it, tell them you're pretty much the same as me in some ways, although Colorado is much more difficult to make a stand than Ron DeSantis' Florida, because Colorado is a purple etching blue state, sadly, mainly because of corrupt elections, but we'll get into that later. But anyway, so you ended up getting dragged into politics. You're a right-winger just like me, a Second Amendment guy just like me, but probably on more of the, we voted and we knew what right from wrong and we love Jesus and all that, but we're on the outskirts, probably believed a lot of things were conspiracy theories that we've now discovered were actually true. But anyway, you got dragged into this whole thing via, I'm assuming somewhere in March of 2020 or April of 2020. Just tell everybody how that worked and the stand that you had to make to keep your businesses open.
Well, it actually didn't affect my businesses. It affected the businesses that I serviced. And so we serviced big companies, Fortune 500 companies, all the way down to SMBs. My passion is for the small to medium business market. And we saw that they took the Constitution, threw it in the trash, and said that, hey, this COVID thing, it only exists at small businesses, and you guys don't know how to wash your hands. So everyone needs to actually go just work at or get all their things from Target. So I saw people basically burning down around me. And it didn't make a lot of sense. I started doing a lot of research on viruses. And frankly, I've seen quite a bit of what they've done. I've seen that being done overseas before. I spent 6.5 years in the Middle East and Africa working in some pretty cool areas. So I've seen this propaganda before. And so I just said, no. I started the Reopen Colorado movement. And then from there, what happened in June, where they BLM and created this story to really drive a wedge into the community. And so from one of standing up in the community, getting businesses to open and to understand that these aren't lawful orders, they can't shut down our community. That movement spread across the country. And then from there, we saw them go in with the moment of the summer of love. And so I got with John Tig-Tigan, and we Antifa only had one day in Colorado, and we got together and built an organization of men, and we just showed up. If they showed up, we showed up. And here I am running a tech company, doing all this stuff. They started writing bad stuff about me, and then the veil got lifted. We saw them talking about what they were doing to children. We saw what they were doing on the education space, grooming children and indoctrinating them at a really high level. We were able to see it. right? Because you're seeing teachers and what they're doing to these kids at home. And so I founded an organization called FEC United, and all these Antifa journalists started writing bad stuff about me. And I was, that's the year, by the way, that I was Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year finalist. And so I was set to sell my company in 2021 for north of $200 million, probably closer to $250 million. And, oh my God. And so I, you know, I'm a serious tech guy. It's not like I'm a, you know, just side of the road.
I had no idea. I focused on only your gun businesses. I had no idea about your hands in the tech business. No idea.
So then, you know, I was on that call with Coomer down in September-ish area. He was on that Antifa call. And then November came around, and that's when I saw something that had his name on it, did a whole bunch of research on him. And that propelled me into the election fraud deal. Now they write all this bad stuff about me, which is the only reason I was on that call. I didn't even care about Eric. I cared about the Antifa journalist. And then from there, that propelled me into now I live in a house of bulletproof glass and thermal cameras, and had personal security detail on me and my family for 18 months. And it was very, very difficult time. And then I finally just said, come for me.
If there's anybody who's ready.
I believe God puts us here for a reason. I'm a warrior. They picked the wrong guy. One, they said that the election wasn't stolen. So I started digging into that after they sued me for defamation. Eric Coomer did. And sued a bunch of other people. And then I wrote a model that I took to Washington in January. And I predicted the outcome of the January 5th runoff election, the Senate runoff election, model, which, by the way, no one had any access to information in early January or mid-December. I knew exactly how they stole the election. I knew exactly where to look. I knew where the fault points were. I called it the big con and the small cons. I wrote out a model using all the publicly available information. And frankly, I would then on January 6th, I probably would have been at the Capitol had I not been in a skiff at the State Department, meeting with Pompeo's counsel and saying this is how they stole the election. So there's so much more to it than that, but that kind of brings you up to the fact that I ruined the sale of my company, had to step down for 3 years. Was in exile basically, and have been going around the country, and I've been digging into election fraud for the last 3 years and speaking about Gideon's army, you know, Judges 7. How do we get people to stand up and bring water to their mouth and really stand in their community as God's force against the evil that we're facing today?
See, you're really doing stuff, and that's the thing. A lot of people, you know, it's really outrage porn. And everyone gets really upset about things, but they don't actually ever take action. And you're actually, you know, taking action on things. I had some red flag laws I wanted to get into with you, right? But I'm going to dive into that election fraud stuff, because literally the last time I talked to you, I think we had like a half an hour. So I didn't get as much into you as much as I'd like to. And this stuff that you're telling me about, where you're meeting with Pompeo. Okay. I want to just ask you, I know there's some things, it's a skiff, you're not going to be able to tell me, I understand that, but can you elaborate on what the reception was? And let me, I'll just go over, like, just using Michigan and Georgia as examples, and you already know all this information, but just so the viewers hear it, well, they know it if they watch this podcast regularly, but, you know, it just came out, it's all now irrefutable that there's 17,000 confirmed dead people that voted in Michigan. We have that. 66,000 illegal ballots were counted for Joe Biden in Georgia. We have that. Of course, you know, Donald Trump's being, you know, persecuted via prosecution by Fannie Willis for just asking the question to Raffensperger at the time, hey, can you find me 11,000 votes? Because Donald Trump, quote unquote, lost by 11,000 votes, but 66,000. This doesn't count the machines or anything else. These are just illegal ballots, well, 66,000, all going, of course, for Joe Biden. So if you could just tell me, what was the response when you're telling Trump's team, I know this election was stolen. We all know that it was, because in the history of our country, we've never seen an election shut down. And I go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning on the 6th, you know, the 3 hours into the 6th, November 6th, 2020. And President Trump is up in Arizona by 600,000 plus votes. And I get up in the morning, he's up by 1,400 after they told me they stopped counting ballots. And I got up at 7 in the morning. So for 4 hours, somehow he lost 600,000 votes. So just curious, because you're in the know and you were on the inside, can you just tell me what was the reception of Trump's team when you told them that the election was stolen?
Well, so they thought, when I first sent the information to them and I gave a speech at Freedom Plaza on January 5th, this is when I knew I was in trouble, okay? First of all, I have personal security detail that's with me, and they travel everywhere. They were living in my home, right? And I'm not talking about, I think there are threats. There are people coming to my house with guns. They send powder through the mail to my house. I had hazmat, the FBI, the sheriff's office at my home. So these aren't just, these aren't pretend made up accusations or allegations like the left does. These are real threats against my family.
Right.
And so I sent the model to them and I was like, listen, this is how they stole the election. And they're like, how do you know? You need to come to Washington. So I did. And they grilled me for hours, all day, like 12, 15 hours, like grilling me, asking me questions like, how do you know this? And I was like, well, it's here. And here's how they suspend ballots. And here's how they create fraudulent ballots. And here's an ADA requirement that allows them to do this in the adjudication process. And oh, by the way, Eric Coomer owns the adjudication process. And so then I said to them, I was like, listen, let me tell you exactly what is going to happen on January 5th at night with the Georgia runoff election. The machines are going to come down. They're going to come back up. The Republicans will be winning, but they'll be barely winning, right? Because it's PID controllers, and basically it's a fixed outcome. And so they were injecting ballots on both sides. But I said, and then what's going to happen is the system's going to come down. It's going to come back up. When it comes back up, it's going to flip. The Democrats are going to win. They're going to also barely win. And what happened? Same thing happened. It went down, came back up. It flipped. Democrats won. Right. And I said, and I predicted 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I think it was 2 o'clock in the morning. They called me and said, you need to come back over here. So I did. They're like, how did you know? And I go, I'm clairvoyant. I did. I mean, I was pissed. And from there, I started meeting with different teams. Yeah. And I mean, and look, you have Seidel and you have Edison, and all the things that I said happened with that model. Everything, not without exception, that I said was in that model later was found in Mesa, Maricopa County. Remember, we didn't have any of that stuff.
Yeah. The seven cities and the six states.
Yeah. And by the way, the models that I've built, this problem is universal because the foundation of every voting machine company is the same. It all follows the same lines and it all has the same vulnerabilities. And it was designed that way. No one would design a system to do what these election systems have done. And now we know that I was talking about this back in January, February of 2021. I was like, listen, the Serbians actually built this deal. They're the ones that wrote all the code. And this thing called roaming networks that's over there was built by Huawei, which is out of a Chinese company that made it for Dominion voting system. So their data center is in Serbia. And I said they have this little office. It's in Chicago. I went to that office in Chicago. Turns out it wasn't really an office. It was a CIA little operation. It had to be because it didn't exist, right? And this is a company that is servicing Dominion. Then I started looking at all the things underneath it about the fact that Serbians came forward and said, hey, listen, I'm a coder. I don't want to have anything to do with this. All of a sudden, those guys disappeared. I mean, it was really bad. I mean, the first 18 months after this was I didn't have any gray hair, by the way. I had no gray hair when I started this deal 3 years ago. And here I am. And people wonder, like, how can you laugh, Joe? Well, because you don't get to take my joy. You don't get to take the things that are important in my life. And frankly, I'm all about it. If I leave this life, I'm going to go hang out with Jesus. And while I'm here, I'm going to preach about Jesus, but I follow Jesus. I am not Jesus. So I will throw someone on their neck quicker than you know what. And so I'm that guy that literally just found myself in the middle of this by accident. I'm like the Forrest Gump of business.
Well, you could have gained the whole world and lost your own soul if you wanted to. And you chose to lose a $250 million sale and do what was right. I mean, you're still very successful. We all know that, but still you did. So just real quick, and that name, Eric Coomer, that is not that. I remember back in 2020 when I was Aaron and I, my producer, and every night we were on the election stuff and bringing out all kinds of information. Yeah. And I remember that name. So let me just, and I didn't mean to launch you down this path, but I'm endlessly fascinated because this is stuff I've never heard. It's a deep dive. that in order to do a deep dive, you have to be a deeply technical person, a tech person. And you see, like with Fox News giving up $700 million to Dominion because they're scared to death to stand up. And all Fox News did was have analysts on their shows basically giving some of the data that you're giving. And then, you know, which I guess now you're going to be held accountable for whoever you interview being on your show. So how are you ever going to have honest media at all if you can't interview anybody on your shows? Because Fox News never advocated that the election was stolen. They should have. But they never did. They had people on their shows who were advocating that the election was stolen, you know.
But they had information that showed it was stolen.
Right.
So, and by the way, the Carlyle Group, which is Vanguard and BlackRock, own a big portion of Fox.
Right.
So they basically just laundered money to themselves. And remember, we didn't actually have the ability to look at any of that data. And Fox News lawyers, I would call them all the time and say, look, I have a ton of information for you. They would never call me back.
Right. Exactly. I said the same thing on the podcast. I said that basically they're giving themselves $700 million. The majority minority owner is Vanguard and BlackRock, the Fox. They're the who own the most minority stock is BlackRock. So they basically gave themselves a $700 million payout themselves. You know, but they ruin everything because now if you're the New York Times, how are you ever going to interview a person again? Because you're going to be held accountable for whatever the person you interview says. It's amazing the corner that leftists paint themselves into. But I digress. I want more on Eric Coomer. Can you elaborate who this guy is? Just the best that you can. I don't care how long you go. I'm endlessly fascinated by what you're telling me.
So let me just tell you, if I didn't just, I would never come out and hurt someone. And everyone around me knows I'm a very consistent person. Like I'm super consistent. But Eric Coomer, when he got on my radar, you know, I didn't know what Dominion Voting Systems was. I just knew that Eric at Dominion. So I went and looked at it. I looked at videos that showed that it was the same guy. So I was confident of that. It was on this call that said, hey, don't worry about it. Trump's not going to win. I made effing sure of it. And so I knew that. But what I didn't have is perfect knowledge of all the other things that aligned. And so that night, you know, the sixth, which nobody had even called the election yet, was when I was up elk hunting and I started digging into him. So here's a guy, when we got to his social media platform, was anti-Trump, anti-American, talked about killing pigs, posted the Antifa manifesto on, I think it was June 1st, like the day after it came out. The guy, literally as vile of an individual as you could be, that's him. Now, later, we also learned a couple other things. He wrote an article, he publicly put an article out there, and that public article was this. I raped my wife. I peed on her, made her bark like a dog. He went into graphic detail of what he did to his wife, and then he put his email and his wife's email on that. Then it turns out that he has Satan's tattoo on his arm. Then it turns out, I mean, there's so many things that we discovered going through this. He was a drug addict, a heroin addict that almost went to prison in California two times, right? In 2006, they picked him up as a heroin addict and all of a sudden decided that, yeah, he's going to go work for Sequoia Voting System. Like, that was the guy they chose, right? He has his doctorate in nuclear engineering, which he did his doctorate thesis in nuclear decay models. Well, that's actually the function that you would use if you were going to degrade or create a fixed out point in an election, right? So he owns the adjudication process. There's so much more I could tell you. And he's the gift that keeps on giving. Like, this is a really bad person.
Yeah, I remember pulling articles about him.
And then at the beginning of March, he wrote an article in the Denver Post that said, I didn't write any of those articles. He did it for advertising clicks. Those aren't my social posts. I didn't have social media. He lied. So then the attacks on me intensified to a rate that is not even right. Now I got booted off of Twitter. I got shut down on Facebook. Everyone came after me. I have real death threats. I have people living in my home. This is literally as if fire. It's like being in a war zone.
Specifically, what was his position? Like, what, I mean, what company did he run? What companies did he run? And what did he do inside those companies?
So he was the director of strategy and security for Dominion Voting Systems.
Okay. That's what I remember.
His job was the And so, you know, it's been 3 years, right? I'm battle tested now. I'm a little bit over it. I still, everything to me is head on a swivel. I still have to look around. I still have to carry a gun everywhere I go. I mean, I have bulletproof glass, thermal cameras in my home. You know, there is nothing about this that I would wish on anyone. I certainly didn't do it for advertising clicks. I lost a big payday. I stepped away from my companies for 3 years, lost 80% of my revenue because obviously I wasn't there, came back in to rebuild it here recently. And I've had an amazing amount of success doing that. But I'm a system architect expert. So I believe that God put me in this for a reason. But prior to, I mean, if you go back to March of 2020, I had no interest in anything political. Like I just wasn't that guy. I was the guy that sat on boards and was a Christian conservative, and I served my community and played football with gang members on Saturday and gave money to kids so that, you know, inner city kids could go get a private school education, which I still do to this day. You know, I never asked for anything. I was a Tocqueville member, gave to United Way and worked on their programs. And I just loved people. And I used my company in order to be a reverse tither. I just basically did everything I could to help other people, which I still do. Right. And so nobody had ever called me radical anything. Nobody had ever called me. And this guy comes out and says that I'm lying. So I was like, all right, game on. And then he sued me like right before Christmas. And I was like, all right, Merry Christmas to me. I'm going to dig in. So I did. And I found out all this stuff about Eric Coomer. And they put him on a pedestal, and the New York Times wrote this article saying that he's the perfect villain, ignored all the things about him, and have trashed me. They've literally trashed me for 3 years, and they call me a podcast host, not a system architect expert, two-time Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year finalist who built successful companies, who grew up poor and was able to give back. No, not that guy. Not the guy that's been blessed, that has lived his life consistently, but Eric Coomer, the guy that literally talked about raping his wife, who then ran into a building later and lied to the police 5 times. That guy is absolutely telling the truth.
Truly, truly unbelievable. So what's the status of the lawsuit, if you're allowed to talk about it?
I talk about everything. I mean, my lawyers good. Can't shut me up.
What's the status? He sued you for defamation, I'm assuming?
Yeah, so he sued me for defamation. He sued President Trump. He sued Rudy Giuliani. He sued OAN. Newsmax, all these other people. And so they conflate all the details and create chaos and then hit them with a bit, we're going to come after you. And then you won't even believe the other stuff that came out of this. Number one, so they had to prove that I lied, which I didn't lie, right? But it went to court, and the judge, ready for this, did what's called a sua sponte motion. In other words, she volunteered. She was brought in. She was brought in March of 2021, I think. Yeah, 2021. And our 20-year sitting judge says, no, you don't get any discovery. You either have it or you don't. Oh, you don't have it? You're out. She comes in and overrules a 20-year judge. She was just appointed. Yep. This was the first meeting she had with us. And she told Coomer's lawyers, oh, by the way, yeah, if you want me to reconsider what that motion they did before with the other judge, just let me know. Before the ink was dry and it was put in, she ruled against us and said, yeah, you can have a deposition even before the anti-slap. You can have all the information you want. And you can have 8 hours of depositions with Altman and everybody else. And he only gets 2 hours collectively with all the defendants. Everyone only gets 2 hours. So you basically get 15 minutes each, right?
Yep.
And we find out that in June at the Antifa rally, she marched, this judge marched Antifa rally and held a sign that said, if that was my son, I would burn the world down. That's the judge that was brought in by the governor in order to run roughshod in this. And
Navarro just said the same thing about his case, that they basically cordoned him into like 2 hours. He can only do things for 2 hours. And then his persecutors, the prosecutors, in D.C., of course, they were allowed to do whatever they wanted for however many hours they wanted. He wasn't even allowed, as Bannon wasn't allowed to, as Rudy Giuliani wasn't allowed to show the tapes of Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss at his defamation hearing. The whole defamation case was predicated on the videos of Ruby Freeman putting the same ballots in the same machine and Shea Moss putting the same ballot in the same machines over and over again, and he wasn't allowed to show those at the trial. It all depends on what jurisdiction you're in. I've been tooting this horn for a long time. Just wait until we haul all of them in front of red judges and red juries and red prosecutors and red jurisdictions, which is exactly what we have to do. So I'm assuming that wherever this defamation case went, it was in a blue jurisdiction against you. I'm sure that's the trial was.
So it gets worse.
Oh, I'm sure.
Coomer, who lives in Salida, Colorado, came to the city and county of Denver, where not one person in the entire case is at. So they shopped.
Jurisdiction shopped. Yep.
Jurisdiction. Yeah. I'm in Douglas County. You're welcome to come there. Let's go. Right. went to the most controlled area in the state. And you just talked about Ruby Freeman and Rudy Giuliani, who I had on my podcast here literally a week and a half ago. He wasn't allowed to depose them.
Right.
Exactly. It's not even.
How is this even possible? How is this even possible? I mean, you can't put on a defense. So go on. Well, what happened or what is happening with the case? Or if you're allowed to talk about it.
It's under. So then that Antifa judge literally said that I had what's called a probable falsity. And now keep in mind, I've never done any drug in my entire life ever. Right. I certainly don't have a criminal record. Don't have any, there's no issues with me on that side. Right. I run a tech company. I never talked about killing cops or, you know, hating the United States or F Trump. I never talked about any of that. That never happened. That never happened with me. And I lied about him being on the call. He lied about everything. And yeah, I'm the liar. The guy that's telling the truth is lying. And so she said probable falsity. And then after all this dog and pony, you weren't allowed to use the word liar in the court. They basically said you weren't allowed to personally attack Coomer's character. So you had to keep out a bunch of evidence. And at the end of it said, yep, yeah, we're going to go to trial. And you know, absolutely, he did something wrong. We're going to go to trial. And so we appealed it on all these grounds. And then I went to the appeals court. And then the appeals court asked some of the dumbest questions known to man. And I kept thinking to myself, this is anti-SLAPP. What are they? Why are they saying this? This makes no sense. This is backwards. Like the whole thing is backwards. And so now we're still in that waiting period for them on the anti-SLAPP. And my guess is we'll end up going to trial, which I'm happy to.
Yeah. Yeah. The only scary thing about it is who's going to hear the case. That's the thing. And I mean, the appeals court, obviously in Colorado, is the one that took Trump off the ballot, which of course that got overturned by SCOTUS. But still, I mean, that's what we're seeing. I'll tell you, it's one of the things that I can go down 2-hour wormholes about, whether it's Navarro, whether it's Bannon, whether even Alex Jones in a civil case, Giuliani, Michael Flynn, hauling people. Because like, if you're going to do a defamation case, like with Alex Jones, like with you, where was the person defamed? I guess they can just choose wherever, because for me, wherever you were defamed is where the court case should have to take place. Or wherever right. The person, no, actually it should be wherever the person whoever defamed
where you live.
Wherever that person was sitting at the time they defamed you should wherever the case should go. Like Rudy Giuliani, I mean, he's in D.C. for a civil defamation case. How does that even happen? You know what I mean? I'm like, how does it end up in a D.C. case for a civil case when Rudy Giuliani hasn't been anywhere near D.C. since the beginning of the Trump administration? You know, I mean, where things are at right now is absolutely terrifying, judicially speaking. Go ahead.
This is not new, though. I'm going to tell you right now, and this is going to maybe shock everyone here. The judiciary has been rotted to the core forever. It has been doing damage to people around this country, the normal people, for at least the last 4 or 5 decades. These judges are some of the worst human beings in America. And you wouldn't know that because most people wouldn't know that.
No,
because unless you're in middle America meaning middle class, and you're having to get sucked into this judicial process, you don't realize how it's stacked against the American people. You know who does realize? Poor black people.
Yep.
Because the school to prison pipeline.
That's why they're going to Trump right now.
Right. But they're starting to realize that listen, I mean, you see what's happening in Chicago, where they're stepping over black people in order to give minorities all these entitlements and putting them in five-star hotels.
That's right.
I mean, they're waking up to the reality of what's happening. But I've been fighting for minority rights for a long time. I have a mixed family. I grew up super poor. I feel guilty about the success that I've had in my life. And, it hasn't been an easy 3 years, but my easy 3 years is nothing compared to that kid that gets a substandard education that literally has to worry about getting shot in the street because the guns were put on the street by DEA and the FBI. It is a real thing that our government apparatuses are rotted to the core, and they're designed to create chaos, and they're designed to imprison black people, just like they are killing off and genociding the next generation with abortion and calling it a right. It's a big problem.
Yeah. You can tell once you end up deep diving on these judges. I mean, you had the awesome James O'Keefe video with Engeron. Mm-hmm. He's a creep. I mean, he's like a perverted little creep. And, you know, whenever you deep dive into him, if you saw like Alex Jones's, you know, well, his judge and his civil case up in like Hartford, Connecticut. Yeah. He's in Austin and Hartford, Connecticut is where he ends up with his defamation lawsuits. And defamation doesn't even fit what he did. You can't defame dead people. Whatever you think about right. Sandy Hook, you can't defame dead people. You have to be obstructing their ability to make a living. That's it, you know. So, but when you do, when you saw like his judge with her purple hair and she was, you know, the absolute, you know, vaccine pimp and everything and total leftist, you're like, yeah, these people are disgusting. But I think that's pretty much, you know, just universal. I mean, like with whether it's the Washington elites, you know, when you see all the, you know, the various perversions that get exposed at various different times, we end up when they have a slush fund inside of, you know, in the House of Representatives, a slush fund to pay off all the different, you know, civil settlements against congressmen and women for sexual offenses that we never know about. And that's one of the things that I've been riding recently is who is it that informs us? Who are these experts? You know, who is it that rules over us? You ever asked, because I, you know, it flames my hide. I'm going to just kind of draw this back to COVID for just a second, but because there's a specific story that I do want you to tell everybody that I've got in my head that I'll trigger your memory on it, you know, in a second. But it amazes me how many people just buy into everything they hear. I mean, why not take 5 minutes? You're destroyed for lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6. Why not take 5 minutes, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, whatever it is, and actually look at the people, deep dive into the people that are telling you to put 3 masks on, that are telling you to take your 9th vaccination for a 99.9% survival virus in September. Why not actually take a deep dive into who are these Supreme Court justices exactly? Who is Ketanji Brown Jackson? You know, Sotomayor, Elena Kagan. Who's John Roberts? Who are these people? Just because they've got a Harvard degree in front of their name or whatever it is, who are they exactly? What, you know, what do they stand for? Which are some of the great, I don't really believe in a lot of these Republicans because it's just, you know, clickbait and they're just trying to make sure everybody thinks they're conservative. They do, you know, they do sound bites and snapshots that are conservative, but then they legislate as Democrats. But it would be very valuable for people to know who exactly these people are, because a lot of them are just absolute reprobates. They're not good people. And all the Christians take orders from these people, from the CDC, from the FDA. You know, the FDA, who receives basically 50% of their income from the people they regulate. And you take, basically, so then you're taking orders from pharma. You know what I'm saying? So people just don't deep dive into these things. Of course, I was like you 5 years ago. If the CDC said something, I would have thought, well, you know, Center for Disease Control, I would listen to them. You know, I did. Now, of course, that's all gone. I told my wife the other day when we were driving around, I longed for 2018 when I was ignorant. I do. I longed for that day. I mean, it was really peaceful back in 2000. Remember that? You were sitting on a $300 million business. I didn't have anywhere near $300 million, but I had sweet oblivion. That was nice. I mean, it was nice to not know these things. So listen, I want you to do this one, because I know that it was a bigger picture for you with COVID and everything else, but there was a specific story when they were coming into one of your stores or store you rep or whatever it is, or store you supply, I'm not sure which, but you had to make a stand as they were trying to tell you to put a mask on, to put a mask sign up or whatever. I just want people to know, Because here in Florida, although there's a bunch of pansy bent over people here, in Colorado, it was not easy to take a stand. Florida, you got DeSantis saying that churches were essential. So it's easy to take a stand here. Most people didn't, but in Colorado, it's a different game. When you actually have the cops showing up at your business, threatening you with prosecution, whatever else, just tell them about that when they're trying to force you into COVID compliance.
Yeah, so we had somebody show up at DCF in Castle Rock. At that point, we only had one store. Say, hey, you guys need to put your masks on. You need to put the sign on the door. And so he comes over, he's like, hey, this person says we have to put our masks on. I walk over and I was like, what can I do for you? Yeah, I'm with Tri-County Health and, I'm going to fine you $15,000 a day. And I was like, all right, get out. I didn't let her say another word. I said, get out. Right now, get out. It's like, oh, what are you doing? No. I'm going to go get the police. And I was like, you can go get the National Guard. You can go get the National Guard. And by the way, I have better guns than they do. Now get out of my store or I will forcefully remove you from the store. So next thing you know, I get a call from the sheriff. He's like, Joe, can you please just have people wear masks? No. Can you put a sign on the door? No. Now, this is the United States of America. It's not a law. You don't get to walk in here and just dictate things to me. It's not the way it works. Like, we're a gun store. We're the only business that is enumerated in the Constitution. Comes right after free speech, which I just gave her. And this is the Second Amendment. So I have the right to sell guns and you have the right to buy them. Right? So I went through this whole process and he's like, listen, if somebody walks in and they at least want you to wear a mask, will you wear a mask for that person? I was like, done. I'll do that. So we'll do it anyway, but we'll respect them and we'll wear a mask if there's a problem. Okay. All right. Done. Well, now it's game on. Now I'm ready. Right. So Tri-County Health Services, three counties they're the health department, right? They're self-appointed health department. And I'm like, well, they're gone. I'm going to get rid of them. So I called the county commissioners and I'm like, listen, I'm not doing this whole deal with the Tri-County Health. You need to get rid of them. We don't need this Gestapo. And by the way, I stood up for restaurants. I stood in front of restaurants when police came and I was like, leave. They're like, we'll arrest you. I was like, you can try. So I'm not telling you that I just did this for my business, but I did it mostly.
Oh, yeah.
This big of a stand I did for my business, their business. I'm like, you're not welcome here. Leave. And you can't arrest anyone because there is no law that says you could shut people's business down. Matter of fact, that doesn't exist, right? They're essential business. If Target's open, they could stay open. Well, you need to step out of the way. I'm not stepping out of the way. And see, I knew most of the police officers in that area. So everyone was really cool with me. But when you show up with like 30 or 40 people, they don't want any part of that business. But then I went to the commissioner's meeting and I was like, you need to get rid of Tri-County Health. So now they're not no longer Tri-County Health, they're by Tri-County Health because they got kicked out of Douglas County because of me.
That's huge, man. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, and Douglas County did their own thing and they're deeply red and they didn't want to put up with this deal. And everyone knows. See, the problem is people are not stupid. We know this was an op run on the people.
That's right.
We know this was designed. And I'm not just talking about the elements of COVID or the vaccine.
Way bigger picture. Yep.
They killed 2 million people with ventilators.
We found out
later was actually the thing that killed them.
And remdesivir. That's right.
Remdesivir. And they called prophylactics like ivermectin, horse paste.
That's right.
Which is absurd.
Hydroxychloroquine, monoclonals, zinc, all of that, just so they get their EUAs.
And it's really hard, by the way, still to get the ivermectin. Why? Because we know it's an antiviral. I mean, I had malaria several times. That's what they gave me. Right. So why'd they do it? Because they were trying to create chaos.
The FDA just retracted all of their stances on ivermectin. And ivermectin is why I'm banned off of YouTube for life, because they went back on a sermon that I said. And I used the word, I don't even remember what I said, ivermectin, which everything that I said was 100% correct.
Yeah.
And I'm banned off of that, for forever. But no, there's obviously it's a much, much larger picture. My big thing is why I wanted you to talk about it. Is because they're coming again. They're going to come again, whether it's CO2 or the next virus or whatever it is. And everybody needs to be a Joe Altman. You need to just say no to these people. Well, what if I lose my job? Well, lose your job. It's better to lose your job and not lose your life. And anyway, if you're a follower of Jesus, he's going to prosper everything you do anyway and make you better than you were before the stand or before the arrest or anything else. You got Rodney Howard Brown in Tampa. He ends up getting arrested at his church. and his church is five times the size it was, you know, before COVID. So, I mean, you make a stand like you did. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do what you say. Bring the cops, bring the National Guard. You always have to ask, like with what's happening in Texas right now. And, you know, Abbott was a COVID caver, but right now he's doing good on the border, at least superficially good on the border.
Superficially.
What are they going to do? What are they going to, if you disobey the SCOTUS, are they going to send the SCOTUS police after you? There is no SCOTUS police. Just tell them no. If all the Democrats, if they can say no to federal law and statutes that revolve around ICE and just not obey ICE detainers, then why do we ever need to obey them when they tell us to put a mask on or lock down our businesses? And it's just, it's federalism in its purest form, where you have Douglas County now on their own. Good. That's the way I want everyone talks about we need to come together. No. We don't come together. That's not what the Bible says. Bible says, come out from among them and be separate and do not yoke yourself together with unbelievers. What does righteousness and wickedness have in common, or fellowship can light have with darkness? All in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So we don't. You stand. And listen, if other people want to come on board, fantastic. You're more than welcome to take the stand with me. But I'm not going to cave. And everybody caves for whatever reason it is, whether they're afraid they're going to lose their job or whether they're going to be maligned by somebody. They're going to call you a Christian who lacks compassion because you won't wear a mask. No, it's got nothing to do with lacking compassion by not wearing a mask. It's about not wanting to lie. And since all liars go straight to hell, Revelation 21:8, I don't want to be a somebody who straps a lie on my face, because they're going to come again, and everybody needs to stand. You need to stand and be unafraid. You know, I mean, we had the local TV station planted in our parking lot on Easter Sunday, filming all of our people coming in. You know, I mean, and just go tell them, just go shove it up your own rear end. I don't care what you do. I'm not caving. You're not getting my guns. I'm not putting masks on. I'm not standing 6 feet apart. I'm not putting out alcohol gel stations. I'm certainly not going to take your clot vax. I'm not going to do any of those things. And people need to stand. But the most cowardly people I saw was Christians. I mean, the most willing, and that's why it says in Matthew chapter 24, 10 through 13, the love of most will go cold, because they're gonna most Christians are gonna end up with a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, because they're gonna cave. You know, and that's my point to all of this, is that the next one's coming. They need to hear your story. They need to buy guns at DCF, load up. I mean, I need to buy my whole next round of ammo. Just got to just order
whatever you want, man. I'll get it for you.
No, I'm ordering from your company for sure. I mean, I'm loaded to bear anyway. I've got everything you could possibly imagine. But I always need ammo. It's, you know what, that's currency as far as I'm concerned. But it's, you know, there's just, I want you to elaborate on your viewpoint on all this too. Is that obviously COVID? Those of you that watch, there's 834 people watching us online right now that we can see, that allow us to see, but. So those of you that are watching, you hear me say this all the time, they know it's about to come. And I want your viewpoint on this, Joe, is that there's various tactics, there's one agenda. The agenda is to leverage you into a one-world commerce system with a singular access point controlled by them, and they use multiple tactics to do so. One of the tactics is COVID, then it's vaccine passports. Vaccine passports were actually, and there's obvious transgenderism, gun grabbing, lawlessness, climate change, all those are tactics to control you, to leverage you into that one world commerce system where they can just shut off your bank account if you buy a gun, whatever it is. And vaccine passports were all about putting in the infrastructure for CBDC and social credit systems. That was the big, you know, the big agenda. That's what this was the cabal behind COVID. And they're always going to come to you with some sort of nefarious, undefinable problem, the problem that they caused, they're offering you their totalitarian solutions for. So just what, you know, as far as big picture is concerned, what do you see as far as big picture that I haven't elaborated on? What do you see? Because I always want to hear other people's perspectives on it too.
Look, I think I've been, since you came on my show, I literally watch all your shows now. And I want to just tell you this. I watch all your shows and I share them. So I'm trying to bring more people to you.
Thank you.
Get you on Frank's speech, because the things that you talk about are directly aligned with purpose, restoration, God's word, right?
That's right.
And you don't deviate from that. I do want to say this. There's an intersect of what if. We what if ourselves to death as Christians? Well, what if they take my job? What if they defame me? What if they, you know, ruin my reputation? What if they dox me? And so we act in fear. We do things to step away from, what is really happening by building a story, a narrative in our brain that doesn't allow for us to have courage and to act in that courage and to have God protect us regardless of what consequences or who comes against us. You know, if you stand for God, nothing can be against you. And the Bible is very clear. It says 365 times, fear not. And we have capitulated to evil. And we have the church has capitulated to evil. The church has literally stood in apathy. And you can say what you want about Martin Luther King, but in 1963, sitting in that Alabama jail, he wrote a letter to the church and he said, if you do not start to dictate the mores of society, if we do not get back to the norm of Christianity being the thing that runs ethics and morals, we will become an irrelevant social club that will be disgusted by the young people. And what has happened today? Right. And we're not looking at the cost. We're not looking at what happened in the beaches of Normandy, where 18 to 25 year olds ran towards the fire that literally had faith, acted in faith. And they never would have children. They never would see their grandchildren, but they acted in that faith and the idea of freedom, not even something they could hold on to, but just having faith in God and having faith that what they were doing was going against evil. And now I look at people today. And I use Galatians 4:16 all the time. Am I the enemy because I tell you the truth? And the other part is James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. That means that you must act in your faith. Amen. That faith itself is not enough. And I know I'm kind of long-winded on this, but this when I go all over the country. Most of the time I speak in churches. We have the Let My People Go, which is the documentary which tells you very easily how the election fraud happens. But I tell people you have two choices. So tell them, I'm going to ask you these two choices. The first of which is, and you, do you have daughters?
I have one daughter, one son.
Okay. So please do not punch me when you finally meet me in person. This is not meant to elicit that response from you. But if you have daughters, and I've said this on my show before, I'm going to give you two choices. You only have two choices. The first choice is this. Your daughter can be raped every day. The second choice is your daughter, you can do something about it and your daughter will only get raped once. Choose.
Yeah.
Which one?
I choose the once.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what the choice is. Ready? The choice is choice three. That guy is going to die. There is nobody that's going to rape my daughter.
Right.
And I say that because we're conditioned.
If you gave me the choice because three, I would have given.
Give you a choice three. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that we are conditioned to the choices that they give us, not the choice that God gives us. Like God gives us a choice of free will. He tells us you have free will. But what the government's doing is, I'm going to give you two choices. You can do one of these two things. And we don't understand the power of the word no, that of the people, for the people, by the people is a real thing. Right. And if we want to give opportunity to our kids and our grandkids and future generations, we have to be willing to take the third choice, regardless of the consequence. None of us are going to make it out of this world alive. So we have to act in the word of God. We have to be forgiving, accept people where they are, not where we want them to be. We have to show them as much light as we can. We got to love on them. But it doesn't mean that you don't carry a sword.
And you elaborate further on this point too, is that a lot of Christians, first of all, they don't read their Bible. They don't know what Christianity is, because Christianity is the Bible unequivocally. There is no other Jesus outside of the Bible. They make up their own version of Jesus, basically what I say in church all the time. They make Jesus an all accommodating, all accepting, all tolerant, pot smoking bongo player. That's not what he is. He's not a hippie. He's not all accommodating. He's not all accepting. Narrow is the way if you find it. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that's not very accommodating. It's not all accepting. He's basically telling you anybody that doesn't come through the way of the cross is going to die and go straight to hell. Buddhist, Muslim, backslidden Christian, whatever it is, that's just the way that's the Bible. So there is no other, Jesus is the word, John chapter 1, verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 14, 1 John 5:7. Jesus is unequivocally and exclusively the word of God. So that should be your definition of Christianity. But most people don't study to show themselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. So their Christianity means compliance. And actually, you in a way, you tricked me into compliance with your question. Of course, I had it in my mind that I'm like locked in a jail cell, so there's nothing I can do about it. But what you actually said was a good psychological ploy, because that is, most people do feel cornered into the decisions, the A, B that they give you, and that there is no C. Because a lot of Christians don't know what Christianity is. Christianity is not compliance. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have ended up on a cross.
Yeah.
He didn't comply. Therefore, that landed him on the cross.
100%.
And that's the whole thing, is that, so Christians think, oh, you know what? The CDC, those wonderful abortionists who kill 41.2 million babies per year worldwide, and that's without New York and California reporting, so it's way more than that. Those wonderful abortionists, those people who lop off breasts, lop off penises, lop off testicles, child mutilation, vaccine experiment, you know, Bill Gates paralyzing 496,000 kids in India, isn't even allowed back in India now. Those wonderful people are the ones telling me to put a mask on, lock down my church, close our business. 60% of businesses that closed during COVID have never reopened and will never reopen, which was part of the plan too. But Christians think that it is Christ-like to be compliant to their political opponent, their theological opponent, their philosophical opponent, to an abortionist, to a transgender activist, because that's who Fauci is. That's who Fauci is. That's who Walensky is. Francis Collins being the worst of all of them because he claims to be an evangelical Christian. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing, claims to be, and then puts out all sorts of antithetical to the Word of God statements. But anyway, Christians think that love is compliance, that love is cooperation. It's exactly the opposite. You stand in what's true. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, 1 Corinthians 13:6. So whatever the truth is, that's Christianity. So the truth was, when they came into your store and they said, put a mask on, the truth was, masks do nothing. You're not going to muzzle me. We have all signed on as American citizens to obey not our ruling authorities, but a ruling document. We had a lot of Christians falling for the Romans 13, mantra, the Romans 13, statements or whatever, commitments that I've got to obey my ruling authorities. Your ruling authority is a document. To obey God, if you're going to not be lawless, then you obey the document. Christians have no idea what it means to be a Christian, because they're being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I'll also reject you. Which why I will bet you right now, and this I'll let you launch on this. How many good churches are there in Colorado?
There's actually more now than there was before, but probably 10, 15.
Yeah, right.
No,
yeah.
Sorry, it's, right. There's probably more now. There's three when it first started.
I'll be shocked. I'll be shocked with you. I'll be shocked if there's two. I'll be shocked. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about, and I'm assuming you don't feel like you're called to pastor a church or anything like that, but I'm talking about Joel Altman as pastor. How many of those are there?
Three. I have three pastor friends that I literally hammer on all the time. I pray with. Yeah. And one of them moved to Texas. He's like, I got to get out of Colorado. But Andrew
down Womack. Two.
Yeah, I'm down two. Yeah, but I have to take the other one, right? You said that Joey Pastor. I was like, I'll take the third.
No, you're good. You're good. No, I just, that's the deal. I mean, and it's a sad state of affairs. I just tell people now, they watch us on Sunday morning. I used to tell people, find a local church. I don't anymore, because all churches. Now, when I say there's zero churches in Colorado, statistically speaking, I mean, how many people live in the state of Colorado? You know, roughly? It's 22 million live in the state of Florida.
About 5
million. 5 million. So you got 5 million people living there with two good churches. So statistically speaking, there's no good churches in Colorado.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, statistically speaking, and I just tell people now, forget it, because all you're going to hear is things that cause you to die and go straight to hell, put a mark on your right hand, on your forehead. Because if you look at what COVID did, was it ushered in the infrastructure that doesn't allow you to buy, sell, trade, or travel without your approved paperwork. Show me your papers, because demons are all the same. The demons that were in the 1930s are the same demons now, because they're eternal, just like your soul is eternal. Souls will either spend eternity, they'll be here for a while, or heaven or hell. Demons obviously burn in hell for all of eternity, but they're here right now on the earth. Prince of the power of the air, right here. And the same, they're going to come at you the same way over and over again, and that is it's always totalitarianism. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. What's the second part of Galatians 5:1? Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by yoke of slavery. They come into DCF. You tell them, shove it up your own rear end. I'm not putting on a mask. I'm not standing 6 feet apart. You're not going to see any alcohol gel stations. And don't bother bringing your public advertisements for vaccines. I'm not putting those on my door either. That's Christianity, though. That's actual. That's what Jesus did. He made a whip.
That's living your life.
Yeah.
That's living your life in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you feel like that's what Christianity is? I mean, I believe
it is.
That's actually loving people. That's loving them. Jesus was not some soft-spoken, monotone, COVID-caving pastor. He wasn't that way.
I tell people, I am my brother's keeper. In other words, you know, there's this verse that just hits me really hard every time I read it. And it's the other John 3:16. It's 1 John 3:16.
Yeah.
And that is that God gave up his life. And so we have an obligation to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. And if you go to King James Version, it says for the brethren. But I mean, it really just means that we have to be the ones that are willing to see the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and be willing to make those same sacrifices for even people that we would never know.
That's right. That's right. And even people that hate you, because they're going to hate you for not putting on the mask, but you'll be actually the one they thank. If they do make it to heaven, they'll walk up to you and say, you know, you were the one who stood, which steered me towards the Bible. Because people are like, how does standing up against tyranny lead people to Christ? Well, isn't that what he did? I mean, that's the whole thing. So, I mean, if you're standing up against tyranny and you're standing up for truth, because vaccines, the COVID vaccine, and I'm thinking really, honestly, most vaccines now from what I'm reading, vaccines are a complete lie, but we'll just isolate it to COVID. COVID vaccines are a complete lie. So me standing up as a Christian, first of all, I'm giving them more, 17 million, right? And Bannon has it at 20 million. 20 million, it wasn't Bannon, Alex Jones has it at 20 million. 20 million excess deaths now, 2021, 2022, and part of 2023, since the vaccine rollout. We have in America, if you believe CDC stats, which of course I don't, you had 300,000 Americans dying of COVID-19 in 2020 and a million dying since the vaccine rollout of COVID-19. So us, me and you, because people can't fight off anything anymore, dropping dead. They talk about myocarditis, pericarditis. One of the biggest killers is ADE, because more Americans, more Australians, wherever they're tracking the data, more Americans have died of the least virulent variant than the other two variants combined. That's Omicron, which is a scratchy throat and a runny nose. People are dying of it because they have no immune system. You and I standing up and saying, you know what? I'm not taking that stupid thing. They get more breath on earth to receive Jesus. If 17 million people or 20 million people would have listened to you and I. I mean, have you ever listened to like Edward Dowd statistics?
Yeah.
Coming from Edward Dowd, the Society of Actuaries. There's no arguing that 20 million extra people have died in 3 years. There's no arguing that, because that's coming from insurance claims. And those are people with insurance, let alone people who don't have insurance. You and I standing, if they would have listened to us, they'd be alive right now to possibly receive Jesus.
Yeah, so that's where you get into, you said something really important. Those are the people that have insurance. You know, exactly. I didn't come from great stock, right? So I grew up super poor. And so I always laughed that I've accomplished things that I never thought were possible anyway, but I did think were possible because people told me I couldn't do it. So I did it anyway, but I came from a community that is unseen. I mean, people talk about being invisible, and I believe that 80% of the country, 90% of the country feels like they're invisible. It feels like they don't matter. Yep. It feels like they don't have a voice. And so I came from there. Well, those are the same people that when things go wrong, that 20 million number that are insured, there's probably another 20 million behind it, 40 million behind it, 60 million behind it, that's never right. had the opportunity to ever be seen. And I think, you know, it's like the story of Jesus, the story that Jesus talks about where you, the flock, right? That he's going to go back and find that one. Well, we just don't do a really good job of finding that one. Like we want to do good, or we want to talk about stuff that sounds good, but it doesn't do good. And so we just really have to equate this to the idea that, you know, they've been doing really bad things to poor people for a long time. And now that's come home. They've actually brought that mentality into our homes. They brought it into our communities and said, now you're all subject to this. And oh, by the way, you need to house people that come across the border, because You know, that's just what we told you to do. And everybody's like, well, if you don't put them in your home, then you don't have a heart. But I have to step over my that's brothers exactly and wrong. Sisters in my own country to take care of them. And I do want to take care of them. I want to love them where they are. But it doesn't mean that we don't put our masks on before helping others, that we don't try to improve our community and make it so that the people in our communities have more opportunities. You don't just rob them and rob future generations by saying, now we're just going to look past all these people that built this country and we're going to give it to somebody else that didn't. It doesn't make a lot of sense, and it's not biblical. I mean, that's the definition of the devil's work.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's those false options. Okay, if you're going to be compassionate, how many immigrants are you going to take in? You're going to take in 10? Yeah. You're going to take in 20? No, I've got homeless in my own community. And by me taking them in, I'm enabling lawlessness. Every one of those people is a criminal. They illegally cross the border. They're criminals. I'm sorry. I'll feed them. I won't let them die. I'm not a Democrat. I don't want to abort you in the womb and outside of the womb, because that's what they all want. They all want us to live 50-year lives, 57 times vaccinated in our 15-minute cities and our 500-square-foot cubicle high-rises, and them control every aspect of our lives. But I'll keep everybody alive. But, you know, I'm not going to take your options. You know, I mean, I put a mask on, whatever it is, buy an electric vehicle so you can just shut off my means of earning a living anytime you want, because I won't be able to power up my vehicle to drive to work because I bought a gun at DCF and they just shut off your finances. I'm supposed to let you go at 1 hour. It's been an hour since I've had you on. I'm supposed to let you go. Do you want to hang out, or you want to go? You need to go.
How much time do I have? I'm just going to ask him real quick. How much time do I have? We're having a great conversation here. Do I have 10 more minutes? Hey, Apollo, you can yell at me. Yes or no? I got 10? Okay, Tops, I got 10 minutes.
All right, let's solve some more problems. We'll keep you to 9:40. Well, no, let's bust. Hey, I want to get your opinion on this because I've been thinking about it all day, and I knew where you, and I had no idea. I thought, in all honesty, I thought you're 100%. I thought you'd eventually have 50, 60 gun stores. I had no idea that about $250 million tech business, and that you basically rewrote all the software for Frank's speech. No clue about any of that or your tech expertise, talking to Pompeo, Dominion, all of that. If I did, I would have done this entire show on that. The entire show on that. Brad Raffensperger in Georgia. All of that, but I want you to see this video. It's only about 30 seconds long. Peter St. Ange, I don't know if you ever heard of him or not, but it's just this new thing with the FBI. We know about the last big budget thing, $1.2 trillion that just got passed. Part of that funding is for the brand new, I can't remember, $700 million facility or billion-dollar facility for the FBI. And this is part of what will be inside that building, and it has to do with red flag laws. So hopefully you can see this video. If you don't, it's only 30 seconds, and then I want to get your opinion on it. Play it for me, Heather.
Naturally, it was released at 3 a.m. since our government is deeply proud of the work it does. It funds a bevy of 6 agencies for the next 6 months and also includes fun little Easter eggs, like a new national red flag center that will spend $750 million, implying it will hire thousands of agents, to attack your Second Amendment rights. In fact, those goons might even be housed at the FBI's new $200 million headquarters, also funded by this bill, presumably as a reward for being so helpful hunting down peaceful protesters who the regime does not like. So in short, the uniparty swamp wins again.
And I'll save the other videos for later, but can you get Joe back on there for me? There he is. Okay, good. I'll save the other videos for later because I only got you for 6 more minutes. But I wanted to get your opinion on that because here you have, I got the numbers flipped in the wrong way, which is I prefer it the way that I had it. So it's $200 million for the FBI's brand new headquarters, and possibly housed in that will be a $750 million outfit that's going to issue or legislate red flag laws around the country. We have Kamala Harris traveling the country right now with her red flag operation. This kind of came out of the blue. I remember Cornyn down in Texas whoring red flag laws. All the rhinos, uniparty, controlled opposition Republicans always end up caving for the red flag stuff. But what do you think about that? $750 million for red flag laws that Republicans just voted in a $1.2 $1.2 trillion mini bus bill.
How about the $84 billion that goes to foreign entities that's also in the bill, one of which, or much of that, goes to meat grinders to kill people in other countries, right? So this $750 million, it's really easy. This is where you learn the power of the word no. This is where you learn to stand up as Americans and to stand together. That judges seven, that you can stand, that like-minded, stand in, firm in the truth and stand up and say, no, we're not doing this. No, you don't get to spend $750 million. But the American people haven't learned yet that they're the elephant that is tied to a fence that's not even in the ground. They could just run away with the fence. There's so much power in the American environment. And I'm not talking about burning buildings. I'm talking about mass evictions. I'm talking about showing up and applying force, not violence. We don't even need violence. These are weak people. These are very weak people. But evil, you can tell me a time in history that evil has literally said, oh, you caught me. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna go over here and get back in the hole because you found out. It's always taken exerted force. It's always taken a God-centered force in order to eradicate or to push evil back. And so we have to become that force. We have to become the ones that stand up and do good. And this is just another one of those anti-American, constitutionally unyoked, decisions that were made to steal money from us.
Exactly. You know, it actually is very similar to banning, and you know, or you know, any other way they used to control your behavior. But like, they'll ban you for hateful speech or speech that is unsafe for the community. Well, who deems, or you have the fact checkers, which is always hysterical because you have the Democratic Party fact checkers fact checking the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. I wonder how that's going to go. But here you have red flag laws, so you have some nefarious back room, smoke-filled room group of people who are going to decide who it is that gets red flagged and for what purpose. They're a threat. How are they a threat? Exactly. I mean, they're a threat because of what? It's like they call Trump an insurrectionist. He's being criminally tried. Not for the you know, actual word insurrectionist, but for all intents and purposes, one of Jack Smith's case, the non-document case in D.C., of course, is for his contributions to what they call an insurrection. But so who is it that gets to say you're red flagged because you're a threat? Well, what am I a threat to? Right. And what is the definition of threat? So once again, they get to control your behavior just like they do online. You know, and what they're always trying to do, like they've ended up with being the gatekeepers of success. You want to be successful online. You can't be. I mean, unless you're already previously established, you can't be successful online because they just ban you. The major platforms ban you. And this is another way to get guns out of people's hands so that you have to have the government come in and defend you. And once you rely on them, they can control your behavior. But I mean, so this comes out of nowhere. Because I haven't heard red flag for about 2 years. And then now, out of nowhere, they sneak this into, the minibus plan. Well, I love how they call them omnibus, minibus, $1.2 trillion in a country that's $35 trillion in debt, adding $1 trillion per every 100 days now, or it used to be about once every 18 months. We've narrowed that down to once every 100 days now. But anyway, they're just coming after us again. You know, it's always just rudimentary coming after our Second Amendment rights. First and Second Amendment are really the big two that are under attack.
Yep.
You know,
and I will tell you this. This is also biblical that you got to continue to speak even if they block you. I mean, I just got canceled by X again. So that happened again. And Elon's running it. So, I mean, I thought it was for free speech. Well, he's not. He's basically telling us the truth and then just saying there's nothing you could do about it. So we just have to. We have to continue to speak. God will amplify that voice. God will make it possible for people to understand what is happening next. But you can't decide when you have faith. You can't give in or give up. You have to continually act in that faith, and God will lead it to where it needs to be. And I'm a perfect example of the fact that I should not be where I am today, even after the 3 years. I mean, they've tried to take everything from me. And yet here I am 3 years later, I'm still smiling. And I've been canceled everywhere, and I'm like, this is okay, it's fine.
Yep.
And I get to go speak in churches, and I could just walk door to door like Paul Revere.
Yeah, if we weren't canceled, there wouldn't be a Rumble. So I'm glad that we have a Rumble. You know, You know, the problem with Elon, he's got Linda Yaccarino as the CEO, and she's a WEF NBC sycophant. She's just mainstream Goebbels media is what she is, what she's always been. And she's running the platform. He stays off from afar. And then people end up complaining about being, banned off of his. And he's being sued from the European Union to ban speech there. Australia's all over him about banning speech. And the question will be, like you brought up a couple times, what are you going to do? I tell Aaron this all the time, put this on the podcast all the time. Right when Elon has me falling in love with him, he blows it.
It's true.
Every single time he lures me in, lures me into falling in love with the guy, and then he blows it every time. And there's always seems to be a rash of conservatives still being banned off of X. So
there's an analogy there. There's something to learn from that. If Elon is luring you in, and then he does something that is inconsistent with the character of luring you in.
Right.
That means he's not authentic, which means he's not honest, which means if he's not honest, he's not authentic. And that means there's an ulterior motive and they have war-gamed abilities to basically lull people to sleep. That's going to bring certain people to sleep. And so now we have to get to the place where we ignore him. He's President Trump is not our savior. President Trump is an indication of what it looks like to have persecution heaped upon you and to still stand in faith.
He has traits that we agree with. That's all that it is. He has traits. Right. He has beliefs that we. He's not. They always accuse us of being sycophantic. I've ripped Trump hard. I hated his response to COVID, and he ushered us into $6 trillion worth of debt himself because of COVID. But anyway,
right.
I got to let you go. If I'm being honest, I would keep you the whole time if they let me. But anyway, Joe, really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
Listen, have your people contact me anytime, anywhere. I'm up all night anyway. Time zones don't matter. I know because I'm up all night all the time, but I would love to have you on as often as you want. I'll come on yours anytime you want. I'm buying all my gun stuff from you from now on, but we really appreciate you. I'm a huge fan of yours. Thank you for all that you've done. I have so many more questions I could spend 3 hours with you. I'm not kidding you. And I would let you talk most of the time because there's the Dominion stuff, tech stuff. I mean, the election stuff. I could sit back. I'm not kidding because this is what I do. I sit back and listen to people like you for hours. You can ask my wife.
Well, I think we have some great conversations. I mean, there's a lot to talk about because God's at the center of it, which makes it really, really an amazing.
And someday, I love the state of Colorado. I'm coming out there. I got to see you in person. I love that state. I've skied out there several times. I love Colorado. I wish it was different.
I may just make it down there to Florida to go to your church.
Yeah, text me up anytime you do. I'm taking you out. We'll take you to the best place I know out down here, and we'll go eat. And talk sounds some great. More. Really appreciate you. Love you, brother. Appreciate all you do.
I love you too, brother. All right,
man.
Take care.
Have a good night. You too. Bye. All right. We are back on. We live, Aaron? We good?
Yep.
All right. Great job, guys. Appreciate you. All right. We got 17 minutes left. Let me do 60 seconds worth of Midas Gold. Can you throw that up for me, Aaron? Midas Gold Group, everybody. Appreciate 898 people on. Appreciate all of Joel Altman's Conservative Media Podcast. Conservative Media Podcast coming on. Appreciate all that, all of his audience too, joining us tonight. Midas Gold Group, my one and only sponsor. Why? Because they're a MAGA sponsor. They are just like you and I, MAGA owned, MAGA operated. All of their gold is physical gold in your hand, not physical, not a phantom gold account that you just nefariously kind of think you got gold. No, it's all physical gold in your hand. They believe the way that you and I believe. They're not a Republican company. Not a conservative company. They are a MAGA company. They know the election was stolen. They know that abortion is murder. They're just like you and I. They want Trump reelected as president, unabashed, unequivocal about their beliefs. Buy your gold from them. With the BRICS movement trying to devalue the dollar and de-dollarize the globe, while simultaneously buying copious amounts of gold, you and I have got to be buying gold. So buy your gold at Midas Gold Group. And when you do, tell them that the TLP sent you. All right, let me hop onto this now. Let me show you this. I was talking to Joe about it, but let me go into some further detail. Josh Dunlap tweet, what the bleep is this evil? Now, this has popped out of nowhere. Again, I didn't see this coming. Now, I've been all, up on the budget and the border and the various other Biden blunders, and I did not see this red flag stuff sticking its nasty head out of the sand again. But here it is. Red flag laws, and again, you're already watching the podcast. I'm not going to go into great detail. But red flag laws are just like banning speech. You get banned off of Twitter. You get banned off of Facebook. You get banned off of YouTube for hateful speech. Well, who determines what's hateful? You get banned because you said unsafe speech. Well, it's unsafe. Who gets to determine what these definitions are? Well, red flag laws are the same way. Well, don't worry, they're only going to be taking it from the criminals. Criminals like Donald Trump, who they're prosecuting for crimes that don't exist, or dangerous people. What makes me dangerous? Because I'm a threat to the narrative of the Democratic Party. Anything can be used to label you as dangerous and then put a red flag on you and you can't buy a firearm. The DOJ announcement of federal red flag center. So we not only are, usually it's, let's go around from state to state meeting with governor and various Democratic and spineless Republicans like John Cornyn and Rob Portman. Let's meet with them and we'll get them to pass red flag laws. Look how we're going to keep everybody safe. It's all about safe. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. It's all about peace and safety, right? Look, you know what a good way to stay safe? Have a gun in your hand. But they'll come. They usually are meeting with these politicians from state to state saying, hey, look how great these red flag laws are. You know, some wife can go up and say, my husband's dangerous, go get his guns. Well, what makes him dangerous exactly? I know there's a place when a husband has been violently abusive to his wife, and it's documented and it's proven and it's prosecuted that the guy shouldn't have a gun for a period of time. I understand that. I was in law enforcement for 25 years. I get it. But that's a very rare circumstance. And of course, people like Merrick Garland, Lisa Monaco, and the Biden administration would exacerbate this to the place where none of us would qualify to get a gun. That's the point. So usually they're meeting state to state with rhinos and Democrats trying to get them to usher in this red flag legislation. Now they're not going to bother with that anymore. They're just going to build a red flag center, rumored to be inside of the $200 million brand new FBI building, where they're going to spend, get this now, $750 million to steal your guns via red flag laws. Just like they stole your freedoms, stole your businesses, stole your church, stole your savings, stole your retirement because they closed your business during COVID for this nefarious threat that doesn't exist. Just like the gun violence threat that doesn't really exist. The only gun violence threat that actually exists is amongst those who aren't lawfully allowed to carry them.
Right, right.
The rest of us are perfectly fine. They allow rampant gun crime via Soros-bought and paid for district attorneys so that it gives them an excuse to come and confiscate law-abiding gun owners' guns. Let's go to this one. I want to show you this. Here's Kamala Harris, Kyle Becker video. Kamala Harris' cringeworthy announcement of a federal red flag center. Play it for me.
The second reason I am here is to announce that today I am launching the National Resource Center for Red Flag Laws. And this National Resource Center will be a place where we will, through that, provide for training for local leaders on how to use red flag laws and keep communities safe.
I just wanted to tell all the viewers watching that because we're talking about guns right now.
Guns, baby, guns.
Yeah, guns, baby. You can go to dcfguns.com. That
dcfguns.com.
That's where Joe's gun store is if you need ammo or guns or anything like that. And you can also find him on Rumble, Conservative Daily Podcast.
Conservative Daily Podcast, that's right. So there you go. Buy your guns at DCF Colorado's three gun stores there. Three gun stores, I think you said five ranges, I can't
something
remember.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like, but more ranges than guns. More ranges than stores. So five gun ranges and three gun stores, DCF guns in Colorado. This is a real, again, this I'm telling you, they don't sponsor the show or anything. I'm just telling you, these are the people we need to buy our guns from. So there you go. So there's Kamala Harris out there now trying to create a red flag center that, again, rumor has it is going to be in the FBI building. Remember the FBI who has an office inside of Perkins Coie that created the entire collusion hoax. Just again. That's the FBI right now, yeah. The ones that are persecuting us via prosecution all around the United States. So let me show you this now. I know this is now we've established that they want to have a federal red flag center so that from Washington D.C. they can determine somehow or another that whether Tom or Aaron or Heather are unsafe to purchase firearms. From Washington, D.C., they're going to be able to dig into Tom's past, Aaron's past, and Heather's past, and be able to tell us whether or not we're lawfully allowed to purchase a firearm.
Mm, lovely.
That's their plan. But nothing to worry about there, right? You can trust those people.
Yeah.
Let me show you this, because I want to show you the various centers that they've tried to set up. So now we have, now there's probably been more, I probably missed some, but number one, they're trying to create a federal, which they're not trying to create, it's created.
Yeah.
It was just funded by Republicans. Over 100 Republicans voted to fund the federal Red Flag Center.
Yeah.
Facts. Now, what else have they tried? Here's another one for you, this Young Americans for Liberty video. The DOJ is creating a Office of Environmental Justice. Play for me.
I'm announcing three actions that the department is taking to advance environmental justice. First, consistent with the president's executive order on tackling the climate crisis at home and abroad, we are issuing a comprehensive environmental justice enforcement strategy. Associate Attorney General Vinita Gupta will discuss that strategy in just a moment. Second, I'm pleased to announce that we are launching the Justice Department's first ever Office of Environmental Justice to oversee and help guide the Justice Department's wide-ranging environmental justice efforts. Like all parts of government, it will get its own acronym, OEJ.
So if you're killing minnows illegally, the Department of Justice is going to pounce upon you.
Oh, no.
I mean, so an Office of Environmental Justice, a red flag, a federal red flag center, an Office of Environmental Justice. And remember, so those are two that I've documented, that this is all under the Biden administration. And never forget, of course, the Disinformation Governance Board with Nina Jankowicz. Play for me.
Information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little idle lie. It's how you hide a little idle lie. It's how you hide a little idle lie. When Rudy Giuliani shared that intel from Ukraine, or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain, they're laundering disinfo and we really should take note and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote. Oh!
This is the point
back,
of the show.
You can bring it back to me. There you go. So I just had to show you these things. So don't have to worry. I'm sure that all of these people that will be running the federal Red Flag Center, the Office of Environmental Justice. What does environmental justice mean exactly? You're gonna be, you know, arrested because you let your fireplace run too long?
Yeah.
You're gonna be arrested? Oh, wait, there's gonna be some federal agent outside of your door from the, I'll just make, OEJ? Office of Environmental Justice is going to be some sort of federal agent outside your house that said, you know what? You put one too many logs on that fire and you put too much CO2 in the air.
You have a gas stove.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Don't forget. Remember how they all told us, they all laughed at us and said, all those silly alt-right people saying that we're going to take away their gas stoves. And then right after that, all the legislation came out from various states and federally where they're trying to take away your gas stoves. So there's the three agencies that I've seen so far: a federal Red Flag Center, an Office of Environmental Justice, and then, of course, they tried the Disinformation Governance Board. Now, whenever you take guns off the streets, take reasonable gun laws, right? That just makes crime just go way down, right? I mean, one of the most restrictive cities and states in the world, in the United States of America, of course, is NYC. And so they basically, you remember like Plaxico Burress, who the wide receiver from the Giants in NYC, he's in the city. He carries a concealed weapon. Not allowed to, according to NYC laws. Shoots himself in the leg. What happens to him? He gets sent to prison for 3 years. Three for shooting himself in the leg.
Ouch.
Yeah. So in NYC, they've taken guns out of everybody's hands. Well, crime should be just plummeting. And it's up 53%. And a number of felony assaults on NYC subways, 2019, 373. Pretty bad. Oh, let's basically up it by 50%. 570 this year. And that's with the National Guard in there. Well, the National Guard started in 2024, to be fair. Now the National Guard's having to stand there fully up armored with AR-15s in their hands.
Yeah.
Standing in the subway system in NYC right now. I mean, truly, truly amazing. I have to show you this one. Most of you have already seen it. I know this went absolutely, just absolutely viral everywhere. But it's a Graham Allen video. And it just starts off, while they're doing that in New York, this is what we're doing in Florida. Play for me.
As to the person, we don't know which homeowner shot at him. I guess they think that
they did something wrong, which they did not. If somebody's breaking in your house, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County. We prefer that you do, actually. So whoever that was, you're not in trouble. Come see us. We have a gun safety class we put on every other Saturday. And if you take that, you'll shoot a lot better, and hopefully you'll save the taxpayers money.
There you go. And that's how it should be. That's the way it should be. That's actually the last video on the post game too. So stick around for the post game in a couple of minutes. Let me show you this one. Now, everyone's talking about the bridge thing. Francis Scott Key Bridge that got demolished in Baltimore. Everybody knows about it. But let me just, we'll just do a quick expose on it so that you see what the consequences are, what Biden's doing about it, what the economic consequences are, what the trade consequences are. Are we going to have supply chain shortages because of it? We are, just so everybody knows. So here, this Liz Churchill video, and this just shows you basically step by step. And you're like, Tom, are you going to tell us whether it's an attack or not? No, because I don't know. I don't know. I will tell you this, that how this boat ended up hitting the bridge is suspicious. I will say that. It is very suspicious. Everyone thinks it's Baltimore. How could it be that big of a deal? Baltimore is, listen, folks, it is a megaport.
Yeah.
Megaport. I didn't know it either. And no idea, but Baltimore is a megaport. I have the statistics for you. It is very strange how this boat appears to sear itself into the infrastructure of the bridge. Kind of weird. All right, so here's a video that just kind of goes step by step. So it's very brief, but it kind of goes step by step. Shows you how the lights go off and the boat ends up striking the bridge. Play for me, Heather. So in an instance, Francis Scott Key Bridge is demolished. Now, here is Trump's. Now, I want you guys to play these one right after another for me, okay? You don't need to come back to me. Here's Joe Biden's strong response to this cataclysmic event. Play it for me.
It's my intention that federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge. And I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time. The people of Baltimore can count on us, though, to stick with them at every step of the way until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt. You know, we're not leaving until this job gets done. Not leaving until then. So I just want to say God bless everybody who everyone harmed this morning and their families. And may God bless the first responders, many of whom risked their lives. And the reason I'm not going to take a lot of questions, there's remaining issues that are open that we got to determine what's going to happen in terms of the rescue mission and the like. But
Do you plan to go to Baltimore, sir? And if so, how quickly?
I do, and as quickly as I can.
You said the federal government's also going to pay for the repairs. I'm just curious. This was a ship that appears to be at fault. Is there any reason to believe that the company behind the ship should be held responsible? And then also,
that could be, but we're not going to wait for that to happen. We're going to pay for it to get the bridge rebuilt and opened.
What did you make of Israel's decision not to attend this meeting this week?
Oh, I don't want to get into that. We've got plenty of time to talk about Rafa.
You mentioned the port. Can I ask about the port?
Doesn't it feel good to be in those strong, virile hands? Doesn't it? I mean, that strong response to a catastrophe inside the United States of America. Yeah. Aaron, you said something about Pete Buttigieg. Now, yeah. Pete Buttigieg, you know, we tried to call him on the phone, but he's busy doing what?
Yeah, he was busy working on the racist overpasses.
Racist overpasses. Yeah. We don't have time for this bridge infrastructure.
Yeah,
stuff.
It's too tough.
And don't worry, Heather was asking, well, shouldn't the company that actually hit the bridge, shouldn't they be paying for it? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, no way about it. You know what? You don't get your boat back. You get nothing back until you pay for the bridge. Simple as that. So here's the actual facts about that company. Singapore flagged Dali container ship that crashed into EE. I'm sure I'm thinking that's who I get some semi-regular posts from this account, but I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right. But anyway, AA or EE, whatever it is, the 776, gotta love that. Singapore flagged Dali container ship that crashed into Baltimore's Key Bridge, bringing it down, also previously smashed into a dock in Antwerp in 2016. I don't believe all the train derailments crashes were accidental, nor do I. And I don't believe this bridge collapsing was accidental. Now I'm reading off of this. I don't know where I stand yet. I'm looking into it. Here's, you know, everyone want to know where I lean? Where I lean is, it was not accidental.
Right.
That is where I lean. Now, 5 years ago, as I was telling Joe, I would have thought accidental without thinking twice about it. Now, not so much, since they orchestrate viruses.
Right.
And then spread them around the globe via the World Military Games in Wuhan, China. Now that they do that, not so sure. They hyperinflate currency all the time to drive us into the hands of the welfare state. I'm not so sure anymore. Just think how many delivery trucks and vehicles go across the bridge daily. Now they need to find alternative routes. There's way more to this than this, so stay with me. And also, the shipping containers have to find alternative routes. This is just another hit on the supply chains. Look at the bottom. Look what it says on the bottom. This is just that Baltimore port. 750,000 cars are imported there. That might be a problem on the market.
Yeah.
1.3 million tons of farm and construction machinery goes through that port. 1.2 million tons of sugar and salt go through that port. Exported out of that port, 22 million tons of coal, 500,000 tons per month of LNG. Aaron, find out what LNG is for me if you can. I have no idea what that is. If you do know, send it to me right now in the chat. I'm looking right at the bottom of the chat. If you know what LNG is, send it to me.
It's a liquefied natural gas.
Oh, wow. There you go. LNG. Yeah. Well, that's kind of important. But don't worry. Only 500,000 tons of it are exported out of that port. That might have a little impact on the economy in the United States of America, right? Oh, this is all just an accident. 44,000 cruise ship passengers depart from that port also, which also will impact our community. So a lot of top five, little supply chain problem there. Little supply chain problem there, little profit problem there, little economy problem there. 750,000 cars, 1.3 million tons of farm and construction machinery, 1.2 million tons of sugar and salt, 22 million tons of coal, 500,000 tons of liquefied natural gas. Kind of a problem, isn't it? Kind of a problem. So I just threw this last one in here just for the fun of it, because this has nothing to do with the ship, but it has to do with Baltimore. maybe once you're just known to be a left-tard city, a left-tard area, left-tard jurisdiction, because of things that, like, I'm about to show you right here. Maybe they just know, you know, we can very easily victimize that place because, and they're not, maybe it's not, they're not even victimizing that place. That place is on board with our agenda. So they know we're not actually victimizing them. We're just ushering in that globalist agenda. Yeah. They know that Baltimore is perfectly suited to usher in the globalist agenda. Here's one of the reasons why. End wokeness video. Baltimore is now facing apocalyptic levels of police shortages. Play for me, Heather.
In the Southern District on Tuesday, there was a plea for officers to work overtime. Minutes later, it went citywide.
Overtime available on today's date, Charlie Schiff, Southern District. Anyone interested?
Baltimore's Southern Police District is the city's largest district, 61,000 residents. And on Tuesday afternoon, sources tell us at one point there were three police officers on patrol. Just seconds after the plea for officers hit the airwaves, so did pleas for help.
If anyone in Sector 2 can come clear, we have a physical child abuse at Morrill Park, and there's a 10-year-old at the location with bruises all over his body. Okay, we also have a common assault. We have a missing person, 2640 D. Huron Street.
10 minutes after that child abuse call was transmitted, it appears there were still no officers en route.
We still have one physical child abuse.
Yes, sir. And be advised, we are now holding 10 calls. No priority ones. We still have the physical child abuse and the common assault.
And it's heartbreaking. Imagine if you are a crime victim.
Betsy Smith with the National Police Association calls the city's police staffing dangerously low.
You are endangering the lives of the police officers that are on duty. And what that further does is endanger the lives of the citizens.
There's 522 vacancies.
At a city budget hearing last year, the top brass admitted it struggled with recruitment and is hoping to hire civilians to fill in the gaps.
We're looking at upwards to 120 to 140 positions that we're trying to create in this request to be able to sustain going forward.
The reason that 9 out of every 10 police departments in this country is short-staffed is because we have been dealing with, here in the United States, this 3.5, almost 4-year vilification and demonization of the American law enforcement officer.
Until perceptions change, Smith predicts recruitment will not improve and the pleas for officers will grow louder.
16 is going to pick up the physical child abuse and it becomes clear of his larceny from auto.
Our sources are telling us.
So there you go. I just want to show you that. Again, not really on topic with anything, but just kind of a miscellaneous subject, but has to do with Baltimore. Now, you know, Heather asked this question while we were watching the video. She goes, you mean they just put it on, basically they triage the calls, right? So they just put it on a screen and they wait for somebody to go. And I told her, so who's going to go?
Yeah.
You're telling me they have a physical, they have a child abuse in progress and they have another assault case in progress. And she's like, you mean they just kind of set it aside and ask if anybody, yes, who's going to go? If you have 3 officers and one of the most, by the way, Baltimore is not right wing. It is a cesspool of crime ridden hell. That's what Baltimore is. And you have 3 officers for an area of the city that has 61,000 people living there. 61,000 people living there. And Heather says, you know what? They just set the side of the call aside. Yes. Who's going to go? This is real life, folks. There's nobody to go. They have 522 vacancies, and they're looking to hire civilians to fill them. What's a civilian going to do with an in-progress assault? What are you going to, I mean, think about how stupid these people are. 522 vacancies. And remember, I always tell you this. How many vacancies do you think there are in the Capitol Police Force? Capitol Police, how many in CHP, Capitol Police, how many vacancies do you think there are? Statistically speaking, 0.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Lindsey Graham, and all the rest of the swamp rats, they have 2,700 officers. How many are in Detroit? All of Detroit, Michigan has less than 800, with hundreds of vacancies due. Less than 800 for the entire city of New York. I mean, the entire city of Detroit. But on Capitol Hill, they have 2,700 cops for a 2-square-mile area. 2.5 square miles. 2,700 cops. And Detroit has less than 800. Seattle has 700. With massive vacancies because the left has demonized local. Listen, the FBI freaking sucks. It is the Gestapo for the Democratic Party. It's got nothing to do with sheriff's offices and police agencies, local police agencies and sheriff's offices. Tom, you're prejudiced on this. You were a cop for 25 years. Yes, I am. Most local cops are good people. Some aren't, but most are, and they've been demonized for the last. Would you be a cop right now? Would you tell your kids to be a cop? Everybody's sitting there with their cell phones, recording every last thing you do, and then they carefully edit the cell phone so you look like a buffoon or an abuser.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No way.
No way would I ever be a cop. So I just wanted to show you there, like, who's going to go? There's nobody to go. It just reminds me of the story that I've told you a bunch of times, where you had the Antifa, the defund the police protest in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And they were worried about their security. So they're having a defund the police protest and they hired the police. They called to hire the police for security.
Right.
You know, people need to understand something. There will come a time when you call 911 and there's nobody there.
That's right.
We have, but everybody believes in this magical day that somebody will always come. No, if you defund the cops, there are no cops. And Baltimore has learned that the hard way. Detroit's learning it the hard way. Seattle's learning it the hard way. Philadelphia, which are all Democratic Party feces floating cesspools. That's who those cities are. So I just wanted to show you that out of Baltimore. I just couldn't help it. And the last thing. The 522 vacancies, and you're gonna hire civilians to do what? go in and talk to a rapist, right? Fresh after the rape. Is that what you're going to do? You're going to stop a domestic, an in-progress domestic violence call with what? Social workers? Are they going to respond with like yellow lights or something? Are they going to respond with what? Like a hypnotist pen? Watch this and calm down. Is that what they're going to do? You know, are they going to respond with psychiatrists? I mean, it's truly amazing the delusion that people live under. It really is. It really is. But anyway, I guess that's it for tonight. 10 minutes into overtime. Hope everybody enjoyed Joel Altman back here Thursday night, as always, 8:30, full 90 minutes of fury. All you'll have is me on Thursday. All you'll have is me. Back to normal, screaming at you for 90 minutes. Just looking at the, I got another McGroin I have never seen before. Fishing for McGroin. That's new. Fishing, I got Braden McGroin. See, you guys love my McGroins. Fishing for McGroin. That's awesome. You got any other McGroins that I've missed? Aaron, have you seen any others that I missed? Braden McGroin, I got fishing for McGroin. Oh, I love the McGroins. I just do. I don't mean to neglect the rest of you, but it's hard to resist the McGroins.
They're just funny names. So good.
I don't see as many McGroins tonight. Man, hey, McGroins, get back on the other McGroins. Get them back on the podcast. All right, back here Thursday night, 8:30, as always, 90 minutes of fury. Stick around for the postgame. By the way, postgame's fresh and new. Got to see it. It's awesome. Stick around for it. Love you all. See you Thursday night. I don't know how people go to the church of perpetual false edification. I don't know how you deal with it. I mean, for me, it's got to be challenging. I couldn't go to a monotone church, a lukewarm church. I could never pull that off. And it's not really because of altruistic reasons or righteous reasons even. I'd be bored out of my mind. I would be bored out of my mind if I wasn't challenged. If there wasn't something that irritated me, I'm at the wrong church. I want something that, you know, I want something where I have to go, you know what, I'm going to go check that. I want to go see if that's really right. Because I don't feel like that could possibly be right. We've had people do that. They come back, they've ended up staying for years, because if you love the Bible, you won't be able to go anywhere else.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to tomlipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.